Today, for our teaching, warnings to the watchful. Warnings to the watchful. And this word that we're going to be using this evening, to be watching or to be watchful, will have two meanings. It will mean first to be watchful in the sense over our garments, over our lives, walking close with the Lord, praying, interceding, causes us to be watchful, to be spiritually alert and awake. And the other understanding of watchfulness is like a guard that has been called to guard and watch. And of course the idea of this comes from Old Testament and the Romans and centurions and that, who were to watch and to guard, and they would have various guards who would watch through a period through the night. That's mostly where being watchful, of course, was needed. So this is the idea and understanding of what we're going to be using tonight with regard to warnings to the watchful. Indeed, are you watchful? That is the question. Because if you are, then we're going to heed these warnings that God is speaking to us about. And I want us to turn to the book of Revelation. And I want us to look in Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 6. And we're going to be looking at the church at Sardis. The church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And I'm going to read this verse. I know we know this very well. We've read this many times. But I think we're going to find that this church, spiritually speaking, is very applicable to what we have today. These seven churches speak very much spiritually what is going on. We can glean from all of these churches, and all of these churches, apart from the church in Philadelphia, give warnings. But this church is an absolute warning to those who are being watchful, to the overcomers, to the spiritual state that we find ourselves in. And I want to read this. And it says here, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And of course we know that those seven churches finish off with every same statement. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And that is the question that we are raising this evening. Are we, who are being watchful, sensitive, and hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Are we, Full Gospel Assembly, listening to what the Spirit is saying to each one of us? None of us are exempt from any of this. Don't be deluded by the fact that you sit in Full Gospel Assembly, therefore you cannot be touched by any of these things. In fact, it speaks very clearly to all of us. Remembering what our title is tonight, Warnings to the Watchful. Now the key word, of course, is to watch. And this church showed the outward form of godliness. We read back, if we look at this, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. So there are two things that are said here with the church at Sardis. You're alive, and yet within your circles there is death. There's some that are not spiritually alive. There are some that are not actually watching. And that's the admonition that's really being said here. They only know the name, but they're not experiencing the changing power of the name of Jesus. And that can be the tragic problem in our circles. Many know that name, many confess that name, even demons confess that name and tremble, the Bible tells us, but many do not know the power of that name in which to change our lives, to conform our lives to the standard that Christ expects of us and is working in and through us. This is why Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. Not by what they say, but the fruit is the test of any believer. And the fruit that is being produced by believers, that is a sign that the power of God is with them. The power is changing their lives into the conformity of Jesus. And that is always the test, every time. And that is what God challenges us each time we come together. Are we being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit and the cross that we too are to daily take up and follow Christ with humble knees bowed in his presence? We've heard a huge amount just recently about God humbling us and expecting our knees bowed in his presence, because then God can work with us. God cannot work with hard-hearted hearts, but hearts that are being changed from stone to flesh. This is always the challenge that God is presenting to us, and certainly in Full Gospel Assembly. And so in this church, he says, there are things, he says, I know your works, and you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And then he goes on in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. So what is required here with this church is watchfulness. There is something that's happened to some who are not watching. And I'm reminded of the parable of the 10 virgins. I gave a teaching some weeks back on this, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish. And to just briefly go through it again, for those that don't know, the 10 are virgin, which speaks of the new birth. There are some that like to say, well, only the 5 wise are the ones that are born again and the foolish that are not. It is not. There are 10 of them are virgin, which speaks of new birth. However, 5 are foolish. And they're foolish with regard to the oil. Now we know that the oil spiritually speaks the oil of anointing. And we know that they didn't take their vessels with them filled with oil, and when the call goes out and they trim their lamps, the wise have more and the foolish find that their lamps are going out. And for those of you who don't know that parable, I would encourage you to read this. So we find that in our circles there are 5 wise and there are 5 foolish. And the foolish are no longer watching anymore. And we need to be a watchful people. And the only way we can watch is by the anointing, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives every second and moment of the day. We won't be otherwise watchful, because otherwise we are looking at other things that are taking our interest, or other things that have started to come into our lives because we're no longer watchful anymore. And we'll look at that in deeper detail as we go on. But in verse 2, this reveals some who are going on and others who are being left behind. And this is really the admonishment, and this is why in many ways this church is dead. And this, I think, is a symptom that is found prevalent around the world. You see, it seems that there is a remnant to be found in a lot of dead places, where they no longer believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. They no longer preach and teach the pure word of God and the message of faith and the deeper life. Yet God always has a remnant. In every generation he's had a remnant, a type of Sardis church. But that remnant that he has, we are called and admonished to be watchful. We have to be watchful in the spiritual conditions that we find ourselves, because much of it is dead. Sadly, a lot of churches and even charismatic churches are dead. They're in the flesh. They're in emotions. It's emotions that have taken place instead of faith. And we know all these symptoms, we've talked about it many, many times. But these are the conditions that we find ourselves today. There's a famine for hearing the word of God. And so few, it seems, hear God's word, and that word to change our lives. But it's how we hear. This is the challenge. And those who are watchful are going to hear this word, because their watchfulness is causing them to be desperate. Their watchfulness, watching day and night, is causing them to do whatever the Holy Spirit requires in which to maintain and keep that watchfulness. Certainly you will have that prayer life, because that is part of being watchful. And so he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. So in these conditions that we find ourselves, he still yet says, I still not find it yet perfect. In other words, it's not to the standard. What he's really saying here and challenging is, we're still compromising with the areas of faith. We're still relying on the arm of the flesh, and believe that it will help us and strengthen us and give us what we want, but it won't. That is the whole point. Still relying on the arm of the flesh weakens us. And if you continue with it, you become dead spiritually. This is why we received the word of faith at the beginning of our walk. A walk to total faith, trusting God. That is the challenge. And he says, as he goes on in verse 3, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. That is interesting, isn't it? So they had received the word, they had received faith, teaching, they had sat under the apostolic anointing. So something has happened. As it says here, it says, remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. So those that are not watching, you've got to cast your mind back to what you first received, if indeed you did receive it. There are some who listen to the deeper life teaching and have heard it, but didn't really hear it. And years later, the weaknesses, the problems come out because the foundation isn't there, or the foundation isn't right. And yet he's saying to the watchful, remember. In other words, go back, think, remember what you received, the former years, remember what I gave you, settle it, that was part of the foundation to build you as to where you are now today, this moment, which is enabling you to be watchful. We indeed, in full gospel assembly, did receive the pure word of God. Yes, we know some things went wrong, but here we are, we still stand, and we are where we are today because of the deeper light teaching that we received over the years. This is why we don't criticize. This is why we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We are today because of what we received. And if any of you are questioning that, or you have problems with that, here's the admonition in verse 3. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast. And what does it say? Repent, because you're sinning. You're going against the mighty hand of God, the sovereign hand of God. You are telling God, you got it wrong in the earlier days. You got it wrong over my life. How dare, and yet some have done that. God is never wrong. Even if you sat under a minister for a season who was preaching and teaching, or who went into sin or heresy, you leave that with God, but you don't throw that baby out with the bathwater. God was using that man for a season to get you where you are. And yet you hear Christians criticizing all of this, criticizing the past and so on. Our past, whatever it is the result of where we are today and how we stand today. Why? Because God is sovereign. He never makes a mistake over any of us. Amen. And he says, therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. And here it's beginning to show us how many are going to miss out, how many will not be ready when Jesus comes for the bride and calls her into heaven. He's going to come for many just like a thief. But you see, the watchful, they're going to be on their guard. They're going to be on their guard against the enemy. The enemy trying to rob them of their faith. And they're going to be totally dependent on the Holy Spirit, who strengthens our lives daily and our faith, who strengthens our godly affections, so that it keeps us faithful and not in a declining state, which sadly some who become dead. The reason they become dead, because they've lost some interest. They're questioning the past. They're questioning things now. Why isn't this happening? Why is my life not breaking through? And various things. You know, we've had a lot of teaching over the years where God is showing us that it is the life that is in us that lives his life in and through us. We can only live by the power of God who works daily in and through us. The moment we take our eyes off this, we're no longer watchful to this, we're going to try and overcome this walk in our own strength, and we simply just become religious, and in the end, you just raise your hands up in exhaustion, because you'll never walk this walk in your own strength. It's absolutely impossible. And that's what's happened to some of these in the Sardis church. As someone said, when we lose watch, we lose guard. And that is what happens. When you're no longer watching, you're no longer able to guard, discern, and see the enemy, or how the enemy is working. There are many, many Christians just do not see how they're used by the enemy. And they honestly believe it's the Holy Spirit. And of course, we know that pride is one of the biggest problems. Pride is the biggest deceiver. You actually believe you are right. You are doing God's work. You are blessed by God. That's its blinding factor. We heard a lot of this, didn't we, again, through our brother on Sunday, as he taught that blessed word to us. But you see, faith that's not producing works is a big problem. And it will be a big problem to the overcomers, because it's not what we received. It's not what we received in the first place. With all our teaching on faith, this teaching must produce its fruit in the last days. And that's what we have to hold on to. That's what we have to be watchful. That's what we're aiming for. We cannot, we dare not compromise in these last days, and how the powers of darkness are trying to get us to compromise in so many areas. And that is why we need to be watchful and on our guard against those symptoms that affect all of us. All of us have had to repent. All of us have had to come clean, that we're not living a total walk of faith as we should be. We've had to confess that we are living a lie at times. But this is the very means, through our honesty, where God can empower us and bring us to that place. There's always that hope, praise God. And we must always hold on to that. But faith, if it's not present, is not going to produce the works of faith. If faith isn't present, then there's a lack of help. We find in the house of God, they're not the helps that they should be, because people are not sensitive, or they don't want to do this or do that work, or it's beneath them. And yet we're called to serve one another. There isn't that servant-like attitude in the house of God, because they're no longer watchful any longer. And so they don't see the needs. They're not interested. There's no longer charity. no longer giving. Yes, and that also means giving of our finances. It's still just a few who are faithful in this assembly, because some are dead to this. They don't see. Not giving to the church in ways that God shows. Lack of a desire to meet, to come together, to meet, to come for prayer and intercession. Yes, these even go on sadly in full gospel assembly. And what's God saying to this? You're dead. You can't see. You're blind. You're no longer watching anymore. This is why we're being admonished, brothers and sisters, to be watchful. Because Jesus doesn't want to come as a thief to some of you. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be watchful, to be alert, to be inspired, built up, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ that is in us. But sadly, these things still go on, and even in full gospel assembly. And God will only allow it for a certain time, because he said, my spirit will not always wrestle with man. And that is fearful. But God means business. And the wise virgins, they mean business with God. And they're moving with God. And God doesn't want any left behind. And if it means he has to admonish, then he will. Because that is the Father's love. God loves us. And he wants none of us to be left behind. He wants all of us to be ready for when he comes. But the next great event in the Christian church is indeed the rapture. But for some, he will come like a thief. Because they're not watchful and not ready. And he says, he goes on in here, in verse 4, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So here is God's promise. Here is his faithfulness. Here's his love and mercy. Here's the hope, even to a dead church in Sardis. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. In other words, they've been watchful over their garments, and they won't let them become defiled. So there's hope, even for the church in Sardis. There's hope for churches. There's hope for full gospel assembly. But it only comes to those who are watching, who are ready. That's what he's saying here. But you see, some have forgotten what they're building on. And he's only going to come for those wise virgins. For many, he will come like a thief. Now, what is our reaction to thieves? Well, none of us like thieves in the natural. And it's a big problem around the world. And so you can see, you can go around and you can see houses where they've got all their alarm systems, where they've got their automatic gates, where they put barbed wire up or whatever it is, all to try and what? To keep out thieves. And yet Christians are absolutely asleep with regard to this. And yet, that is the way he's going to come. He uses this analogy. He's using it in a metaphorical sense. Because he's showing for those, they protect themselves against thieves. That's the whole point. We try and protect ourselves against thieves and so on. Because it's getting worse and worse in these last days. So he's using this analogy. In other words, they go to all those lengths to try and make their houses as seal-proof as possible. And we know it can't be totally possible. If thieves want to get in, they will find a way. But the point is, they make every effort. Well, the overcomers? Are you making every effort? That's the question. Are you that desperate? It depends how desperate we are. Desperate people would do desperate things, and we're living in desperate times. I don't have to tell you the news and what's happening. The great falling away now that we're seeing around the world. We're living in desperate times. And if you will, if you want to, the Holy Spirit will have a way of making us desperate. And he'll do it if you ask him. Because the desperate will be the ones who will be ready. They will be watching over their garments. And they will make it in. So these are the warnings and the admonitions that God is beginning to speak to us now. And they'll be clothed with white raiment, he said. And he says he won't blot their names from the book of life. And he will confess your name to the Father and to his angels. So thank God that even in these times that we live in, we're living in a generation now where everybody does what is right in their own eyes. Times of the judges. We're living in an age where people call black white and white black. Complete compromise in everything. And yet he says in those adverse conditions, spiritually speaking, I've got a remnant. I've got some. Just reminds me like Elijah, who had enough and said, I'm the only one that's left, Lord. But he had 700 who were hidden, protected. So God always has a remnant in every generation. And there is a remnant to be found amongst Christendom. Is it going to be just a remnant in full gospel assembly? That's up to you, brothers and sisters. Because by what we're receiving and have received over the years, every one of us should be those wise virgins. God has given us the means in which to overcome. We have received the deeper life. And we need to go back and think on these things just as he's shown us back in verse 3. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So there we are, the wise will hear. Is it going to be a case today, this evening, that all of us in the room, some have heard and some haven't? God forbid. It's frightening, isn't it? We can only just say, Lord, in your mercy, Father, please help me to hear this word and to apply and live this word. Because some hear and some don't hear. So it gives us hope, doesn't it? And here we see God's mercy and his grace. And he blesses the faithful. He blesses those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, as the word of God says. Now I'm reminded with this, Jesus, he speaks a similar account on this. If we turn to Luke chapter 12, and we'll look at verses 35 through to 40. And here he speaks a parable of the faithful servant and the evil servant. Luke 12, verses 35 through to 40. Let your waists be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom his master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them, so blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, we listen, it gives itself away here. You know, people ask, well, when is the rapture? And we know that people have tried to date it, and it's come and it's gone, and because we don't know. We have signs, and of course Israel, the Middle East, is certainly one of the main signs, but we also have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to prepare us and get us ready. The Holy Spirit will have a way of revealing and communicating to us that we will not be left behind, that he won't come like as a thief. So there's something, as we read these parables, that God will do to the overcoming church to make her ready for the next great event, which I believe is going to be the rapture, the taking away, the snatching away. And so this is going to be a sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. But this gives us clues, it gives us ideas as to how this is going to be. Because what we're reading here about this, the faithful servant and the evil servant, is very simply those who are faithful. Now, faithfulness is not equated with how many times you go to church, or how many good works that you do. All of that has a place. But many equate faithfulness with regard to works. How faithful I am. I'm at church twice a week. I go to all the prayer meetings and so on. That is not what God equates faithfulness. Faithfulness is being faithful to what you have received and staying with it, and what you've learned, and the life that you have thus far, that you are faithful to it, that you desire to be faithful. The watchful, those that are watching, will desire and want to be faithful. A watchman reveals in his or her nature that they are faithful by what they're doing. They are faithful to the word. They are faithful to commitment. They're faithful to prayer. They're faithful to all these things. But there are those who are not faithful, because they've fallen asleep. They're no longer watching anymore. They no longer pray like they did. They're no longer supporting the church like they did. They no longer desire that cross in their life to deal with the self life, to deal with pride. There are those who have lost sight of serving and being a servant. All of these characteristics that we labor with week after week, those who are not watching are either refusing that or lost sight of that. And this is why God is always calling us back, always wooing us, giving us chances to turn, to repent, to get it right. And the faithful will be faithful to what they have received and are receiving. Now, you can only be faithful if you have received the message in the first place. If you've not really heard the word of God, or you're not hearing the word of God as you should be, then you're going to be fine, that you're going to be faithful in other things. or there are some who are very, very faithful over their families. They sacrifice for their families and everything, but you find that there's not that same unction, that zeal and spirit, firstly, for the house of God. Because remember, Jesus brings the sword, and the sword divides. And we have seen in the scriptures, in the gospel, where the division so often takes place. It's right in the family, in the household. And that will always sort out those who truly go on with God and those that don't. That sword does divide. Why does it do this? Because at the end of the day, every one of us have to work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. And the faithful and the watchful will know that, because they are faithful to their consecration. They're faithful to their discipleship. They're faithful above all to the living Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just to some word or ministry or whatever it is. It's to a living God, a living relationship. Jesus Christ, who lives and walks today amongst us. He is the one that we are faithful. He is the object of our faith. He is our goal. He is the one we seek with all our heart, his kingdom. And as he says, the promise will be all these things shall be added unto you. So God enables us. He provides for us. He removes any obstacle from us to be able to put him first. And he will, if it's your heart's desire. If you've got obstacles that are still in the way of you seeking the kingdom or putting Jesus first, then it could be that you're not watchful. You're not putting him first. You're not that wise virgin. Because he's not going to have us entangled in the world trying to provide for ourselves and feed ourselves to stop us from putting him first. That is a complete contradiction to seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It is quite the reverse. God will remove. He will remove the worry, the anxiety, the unbelief that hinders us from putting him us first. And they, of course, are the things that the devil uses. So this idea of faithfulness is here, that Jesus is coming, but at the same time he's delaying his coming. And this is what we get here when we read this parable of the faithful servant and the evil servant. In other words, when you read it, he's delaying his coming, whether in the first watch or the second watch. And this is where we get the idea of the guard. He keeps watching. That is his purpose. That is what he's there for. He's watching. His eyes are open. And this is what we're in now. This is what I believe is happening spiritually to the church. The Lord is delaying his coming. He should have come. He should have come for his bride. He should have come for the overcomers. But he's delaying his coming, and I believe the reason being is because some are dead and they need to come alive. And that's nothing but mercy and grace. And that could be you, it could be me, it could be any of us. The reason the Lord is tarrying, it may be because of me. God knows. Excuse me a second. And so we need to be on our guard. Sorry about that, it's a phone call. So we need to stay up late. That's what a guard does, somebody who's watchful. It's the idea that he's staying up late. He's on guard. That's his duty. And because the Lord is tarrying, we too, in spiritually speaking, we're staying up late. We're keeping awake. It's difficult when everything within us wants to sleep. We want to go off to sleep, but we're not. We're keeping awake because we know that he's coming. And he will come. This is the idea. This is how it is spiritually. Because I believe the Lord is tarrying at the moment. So it's keeping awake while he tarries. It's like we look after our houses. We look after them. We keep them clean. We keep them in good condition. And so it's the same with us. It's the same with the soul of man. We've got to be kept in good condition. We've got to be nourished. We've got to be strengthened. We're going on. This is, in a sense, a last lap. With every bit of strength within us, everything about us needs that extra oil to make it in. I know some of us feel at times we just can't go on. There seems to be nothing left. We're at the end of ourselves. But these are the conditions we're finding ourselves in because God still has some who are to awake, who've been dead. They're to come alive. They're to see those garments that they can have. They're to come through, even in the last minute. That's the mercy and grace of God. We don't know exactly when he's coming, but we know he is coming, and the time is getting very near. So your reaction, even to this teaching, will tell you where you are with regard to watching. The way we've taken this word tonight will tell us where we are. And the humble, they will read the signs because they're desperate. You see, the wise will allow the word to make them desperate. And there's nothing like someone who's desperate because we're living in desperate times and desperate things are needed. Because we have around us today the Church of Sardis, and it's fundamentally dead. But it's up to us whether we wish to be made alive. And this evening is speaking to us and those even in full gospel assembly. There's nowhere we can run to. We sometimes think we can run away and think the grass is green the other side, but it isn't. We stay, we face the giants, and our confession is just like Joshua, we're well able to take the giants of the land, for the land is a good land. The land is milk and honey. It is God's land. It is the land for the overcomers, for the bride, for the church. For the land must be taken. Israel didn't take all the promised land. Church at Pentecost didn't take all the land, but we're told in the latter rain, the final outpouring, the land will be finally taken for God's glory. So this is not a time to sleep, but a time to be watchful. A time to keep awake, and whatever it's going to take, God will work that in and through us, if we let him. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word, the admonitions, the warning of your word. Help us, Lord, to apply what we have heard. We know it's impossible, naturally speaking, but the wise will ask in faith, because the wise ask the right things. Lord, we know that if we ask you in faith to help us to be ready, to be those overcomers, to watch over our garments, to be used in the house of God in these last days, then you will move heaven and earth as you have shown us. And Lord, the very fact that we are here tonight listening to this teaching, we can take encouragement from this, because you're working in our lives, both to will and do, for your good pleasure.
My heart.